Hello there. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is October the 22nd. It's great to be with you. Boy, today we're going to look at one of the most, for lack of a better word, for one of the most annoying gospel passages of all time. This is one of those that we all hear and we cringe and we think, what in the world is Jesus talking about? Today in the gospel from Daily Mass, Jesus said that he didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring division. Does that drive you nuts? I mean, what is he talking about? Isn't he the one who said, peace be with you? On the day of his resurrection, when he rose from the dead, and his apostles were hiding because they were afraid that the leaders were going to come after them next. The enemies of Jesus were going to come looking for them. They were terrified. But what did Jesus do? Jesus appeared to them and he said, peace be with you. But wait a minute, he's giving them peace, but he just said he didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring division. What's he talking about? Well, we're going to take that on today's show. And what I'm going to tell you is this. I was praying about this and I was literally going crazy because I could have chosen other Bible verses to talk about. I could have looked elsewhere in the readings from Daily Mass and come up with something, a nice sweet message. But this one bugged me so much that I felt I had to talk about it on the show. The only problem was I didn't know what I was going to say. I mean, certainly I have a general idea. But as I was reading the gospel, as I was reading a few verses back, that's one of the good things we should always do when you're trying to figure out something that you're reading in the Bible. It's always good to look at it in context. Well, as I did that, I saw something I never saw before. And we'll talk about that. And I do believe that you can reconcile these two messages with each other. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division, and peace be with you. Because they do both make sense, believe it or not. So you're going to have to stick with me on that. And by the way, today, now, I understand that everybody that listens to this program is not Catholic, but in the Catholic Church, and that really honors me. It's just such a great honor to have non-Catholic Christians as listeners to this show. So I always try to point out Catholic beliefs and practices. Well, on this day, October the 22nd, the Catholic Church pays tribute to St. John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II. And earlier on Facebook, I shared a picture of a post-it note. Now, you know, depending on how long you have been listening to my show, you may realize that I began in full-time ministry in January of 2012. So it's been about eight, closing in on 9 years, believe it or not. When I left the software industry, I was a software developer for 30 years. I had a big conversion, got to know Jesus Christ personally. I felt that I was supposed to be working for him in some capacity, never really figuring out how, because I didn't have the background to work for him in a traditional way. No theology degree, no background in radio or television. But I felt that in some way, I was supposed to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So I prayed about it for close to three years. And then suddenly on January the 6th, 2012, I got laid off. I got laid off from my day job. And thanks be to God, my wife, Eileen, I give her all the credit. She's the one who encouraged me and said, you know, you always wanted to go into full-time ministry. Maybe you're never going to get this chance again. Maybe now's the time to do it. And I did it without having any published books. I didn't have any speaking engagements booked. I didn't have a regular radio gig. I didn't have anything. But I agreed with her. I knew that it was time to do it, and I did it. And over the course of the past 8+ years, numerous times, and I mean numerous times, I was tempted to quit, thinking that this is not going to work out. This is a weird way to make a living. I'm barely surviving financially. How are we going to pay the bills? How am I going to support my family? My next book will be a flop. Every other book has been a fluke. You know, this is what I've gone through. And there was a quote from Pope John Paul II that I wrote on a post-it note, and I had it taped to my computer monitor for many years. And then when we moved a few years ago, I saved the post-it note. I still see the remnants of the tape that I used to tape it up there. And I stored it in a drawer. And typically, every year on John Paul II's anniversary, or when we celebrate his memorial in the church, I pull this out. And I know I've shared it on Facebook before, but I shared it on my Facebook page earlier today. And here's the quote. And this is, I think this is something we all need to hear today. And there could be any number of reasons why we feel like giving up. Maybe we're praying for something and we don't see any results. Maybe we look at our country, the United States. Maybe we look at the world. Maybe we look at the pandemic and we think there's no way this is going to get better. Maybe we're looking at our personal life. Maybe we're struggling with loneliness. Maybe our finances are not good. Maybe we're dealing with some form of illness. Any number of reasons. Maybe we're losing faith in Jesus. Maybe we're losing faith in the church. You know, there are a lot of reasons why we could become discouraged. And this quote from St. John Paul II, I think this one is one that we all need to hear today. And it's one that I need to hear repeatedly. And I'm really glad that I was able to find this post-it note. Anyway, here's what he said. I plead with you, never, ever give up on hope. Never doubt, never tire, and never become discouraged. Be not afraid. How's that? Right? No matter what you're going through, no matter what temptation you are facing, the feeling to give up, become discouraged, why am I even doing this? Why does this matter? Why am I praying? Why do I bother? I plead with you, St. John Paul II states, never ever give up on hope, never doubt, never tire, and never become discouraged. Be not afraid. Why? Because God is with you. And if he places a desire in your heart, as he did with me, he does that for a reason. Now, I'm not saying that every desire that we feel comes from God, because sometimes it doesn't. But after you pray and you feel still that you're moved, that God is calling you to do something, whether it's praying for an intention, whether it's venturing out into full-time ministry or anything in between, don't give up until he tells you it's time to give up. And he will let you know. He's going to try your patience. He's going to take you to the edge of the cliff and ask you to take a step forward. He's going to wait till the last minute. Sometimes he waits beyond the last minute. But if God wants you to do something, if he wants something to come about in your life, it's going to happen. Just don't give up. Don't give in to discouragement. That's my message for you today. And again, look on Facebook, look on Twitter, turn on the news, surf the internet for a little bit, check out what's going on in the world. It's really easy to give up, or to want to give up, or to become discouraged. Be not afraid. The Lord is with you, right? That's the message. That's the message for you today. I feel the Holy Spirit working, and I haven't even officially started the show yet. Be not afraid. Don't give up. With God, some things are possible. Nope. With God, all things are possible. Even those things that appear to be impossible. I'm living proof of that. I've seen it over and over again. With God, all things are possible. Okay, so that's the message for you today. And we're going to look at this apparent conflict in what Jesus said between peace and division. Which is it, peace or division? Well, I'm going to answer that with a yes. Did I come to bring peace? Did I come to bring division? Yes. Now, we'll talk about that after the prayer. Why don't we pray together? Please join me. And let's just take a minute. Remember that we are in the presence of our Father in heaven. Wow, what a privilege. Let's turn to him in prayer. Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We recognize your power. We recognize that you are with us right now. We recognize that you are watching over us, that you love us, that there is no problem too large for you. You can handle anything we present to you. Father, we thank you for all that you are allowing to happen in our lives right now, including the difficult things, because we know that anything that you allow to happen in our life can be used for good, and you will always bring good out of it, even if we don't see it. Father, help us to trust you more. Help us to better understand how much you love us. Help us to better understand how powerful you are. Help us to see you in everything that happens and everyone who we encounter. Father, we present to you all of our problems, all of our needs. Please grant us what we need this day. We especially ask that you grant us the grace to remain free from offending you by sin. Please transform us through the working of your Holy Spirit into the image of Jesus. When people see us, how we speak, how we behave, help them to be drawn closer to you through our words, through our actions. Father, I ask for an outpouring of the Spirit today. Please give me the words for this program. And please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message. Heavenly Father, we ask these things in the most powerful and mighty name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. I'm Gary Zimek, and again, this is Following the Truth. We're going to take on a really challenging gospel today. I love it. I love it, especially now that I feel confident about the message. You know, this is one of those that can easily cause us to cringe when we hear it. Jesus is saying, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring division. Well, aren't you supposed to be the Prince of Peace? Did I miss something? What's going on here? Well, we're going to talk about this and look at the scriptures and look a little beyond the gospel passage for today, the one that's read at Mass, so we can get a better idea of what's going on. I want to remind you, too, I mentioned this in my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, which, by the way, if you have not yet signed up for that, I encourage you to do so. You can sign up by going to followingthetruth.com, which is my website, and simply providing your email address. That's not going to cost you anything. You'll get my email every day. It's a Bible verse. It's a short reflection. Just a reminder that the Lord wants to be a part of your daily life and how he can help you. Again, you can sign up for that just by going to followingthetruth.com. So in the reflection today is what, October the 22nd? Believe it or not, do you know what's happening in 117 days? Now, if you do, I'm going to tell you, you are really good if you happen to know what's happening in 117 days. But if you're not sure, that's okay. I don't expect you to know this. In 117 days, it will be the start of Lent. Yes, Lent begins in 117 days. So my question is, oh my gosh, he's talking about Lent. We're not even in Advent yet. My question is, are you ready for Lent? There's a good chance that you may not be. I wrote a book called Give Up Worry for Lent. And the book has, thanks be to God, the book has sold out completely for the past 2 years. But it is available right now. So my recommendation is don't worry, I'm not going to keep talking about Lent, but it came to me today and I noticed the book was starting to sell. I looked on Amazon sales charts and the book was moving up in the charts today. So I think it's in the top 10 of the Easter books already, which is a great thing. And it reminded me, maybe I better start mentioning this. So if you want to get a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent, you can do that. The book is in stock at Amazon.com. You can head over there now to purchase a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent. You're going to be hearing more about that book as we get closer to the Lenten season. Again, I know we got Advent coming up. I know we got Christmas, so we're not going to jump ahead. But since the book has sold out for the past 2 years, I thought I would mention that. Give Up Worry for Lent is available. And by the way, if you want to find out about all my work and all my books and sign up for the daily email devotional, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, let's get right to this gospel. It's one of them that is really maddening. You know, sometimes you think like, Jesus, what are you talking about? Because sometimes he seems to be talking out of both sides of his mouth, doesn't he? Like, what are you saying? Let me just read this and let's talk about it. It's Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 53. Luke 12, 49 through 53. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth?" Now this is me. You know, I picture myself in this situation. Jesus is telling me, do you think I have come to bring peace, to establish peace on the earth? And I would say, sure. But here's what he says. "No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Okay, Jesus, what's the deal? Now, I'm going to say this. This is a little confusing because what happens from time to time is that for the purposes of reading at Mass, the church will do some editing and sometimes slight changes to tweak the wording a little bit to better convey the message. And this gospel starts out with Jesus said to his disciples. Well, if you actually look at where this comes from the Bible, yes, Jesus was technically talking to his disciples, but Luke chapter 12, verse 49 is actually that Jesus said to his disciples, it's not in there. So let me just back up a little bit, tell you what's going on. So Jesus is saying, yes, he's talking to his disciples in general, but specifically, you're going to see he is talking to Peter, who is the head of the apostles. At this point, the disciples, the apostles, those terms at this point in the gospel can be used interchangeably because we're talking about the apostles here. And Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division." And he's saying that there will be division even within households. So if you open up your Bible and you go back a little earlier in Luke chapter 12, in verse 41, Luke 12, 41, we are told that Peter said, "Lord," he's referring to a parable that Jesus had spoken about. Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And the Lord went on to say a number of things addressed to Peter. This idea of Jesus causing division, that's part of the Lord's response to Peter. So Peter is the recipient of this message. Jesus specifically is talking to Peter. And then if you back up even further, Luke chapter 12, verse 22, Jesus is talking to his disciples. So he's talking to his disciples. Then Peter asks a question, and Jesus responds directly to Peter with the message of today. "I have not come to bring peace, but to bring division." And then after he got done saying this, then in verse 54 of Luke chapter 12, Jesus went on to speak to the multitudes. So he's speaking to the disciples. Peter has a question, and then Jesus speaks to Peter. And then after he's done speaking to Peter, then he turns to the crowd. So this message that "I have come to bring division and not peace" is directed to Peter, who is the head of the apostles. And that's important. It's important that we understand that. Why would he be saying to Peter that "I have come to not bring peace, but to bring division"? Well, hold that thought. Let's fast forward to John chapter 20. When Jesus is speaking to his apostles after he had risen from the dead. So they're hiding in the upper room, hiding because they're afraid that somebody's going to come after them. And Jesus appears to them. I'm paging through my Bible. In verse 19 of John chapter 20, on the evening of that day, which is the first day of the week, the Easter Sunday, the first Easter, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So they were scared. And when John refers to the Jews, these are the authorities. These are the people that want to kill the apostles because they were followers of Jesus, right? These are not friendly folks. Jesus came and stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." It's pretty clear. Peace be with you, message to the disciples who are hiding out in fear. But wait a minute, didn't Jesus just say to Peter, "I didn't come to bring peace"? Well, here's what I think. Following Jesus, becoming a disciple or a follower of Christ, as Peter was, Peter's the head guy, will bring you peace. Jesus will give his followers peace. That's what he does. He gives us peace. However, being a follower of Christ and sharing or living the gospel, I should say, living the gospel, even, and I'm not even talking about necessarily preaching or, really being extremely vocal with your preaching, but just living an authentic Christian life and not being afraid to talk about Jesus. That in and of itself is going to bring persecution and resistance. You're going to ruffle some feathers, especially if you post things on social media, if you speak out for Christian values, if you tell people you're voting pro-life because you're a Christian, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to get people annoyed. That's what was happening to the followers of Jesus. That's what happened to Jesus because people didn't want to hear the message. So living a Christian life will bring division because you can't ignore Jesus. Yes, we can live a lukewarm Christian life. We can go through the motions. I did it for years. And I wasn't persecuted because nobody even knew I was a Christian. But once you make it known that you are a follower of Jesus, that you are not afraid to use his name, that you are not afraid to live by the principles of the gospel, you're going to make enemies. And you will, by living the gospel, you will find division existing and persecution existing in your life, and it might even happen in your family. But at the same time, Jesus will give you his peace. So that's why he can say, "I didn't come to bring peace. I didn't come to not ruffle feathers," because he did come to ruffle feathers. He did come to challenge people. He did come to shake people up. He shakes me up when I hear him talk, because I think, oh my goodness, I gotta make some changes. And sometimes I don't want to make these changes. But at the same time, Jesus gives us as his followers peace, a peace that surpasses human understanding, a peace that is not dependent on external circumstances, a peace that is not determined on everything going your way in life. That's the peace of Christ. And it can exist in the midst of division and persecution. That's it. That's the message. And I think when you look at today's gospel, in light of the fact that Jesus was talking to Peter, he wasn't talking to the crowd at large. He was talking to Peter and really encouraging him because he knew what they would face. See, Peter didn't get it. Peter didn't get what he was about to face. The apostles of Jesus seemed to be caught. The crucifixion seemed to catch them by surprise. They weren't able to wrap their brains around what was happening. But Jesus knew, and he had to strengthen them. And that's like he tells us in John 16:33. In this life, you're going to have problems, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. I'm bigger than your problems, Jesus said. So yeah, expect persecution, expect challenges, but it's okay because you can have peace. Now, here's the final message I want to leave with you. Don't assume that because Jesus said that he will be the cause of division, that you should go out and try to create division. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we're more concerned about winning arguments and proving that we're right than we are about reaching souls and leading souls to Christ. Sometimes that involves being quiet. Sometimes that it involves not posting what you really want to post or holding back a little bit. So yes, go out and share the truth, but do it in a nice way. Don't commit a sin by trying to share Jesus or share the gospel with somebody, because we do that. We have to be careful about that, okay? So there you go. That's the message. Jesus did come to bring division. And when we share the gospel, we will experience the same thing. But he also came to bring peace. And if you follow him, you are going to be able to experience that peace. Okay, so thank you. Thank you for listening. I feel good now. Now it all makes sense to me. You know, these messages that Christ delivers, they're challenging sometimes. But if you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, if you do a little reading, fall back on some of what the church fathers said, some good spiritual writers, you'll eventually begin to see that everything Jesus said makes sense. I know it sounds funny, right? Gary's saying Jesus makes sense, but he really does. Thank you for listening to the program. Hope you have a wonderful day. God bless you. And you know where to find me if you need anything. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Don't forget to head on over to followingthetruth.com for more information about the work that I do. And while you're at it, order yourself a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent, so you'll be all set for Lent this year. You're looking for something to give up? Worry, that's a good thing. Growing closer to Jesus, trusting him more. We'll be doing that together. Make no mistake about that. We're going to be doing that together. You will hear more about that book as we get closer to Lent, okay? Gary@followingthetruth.com, again, is my email if you need anything. I'm going to be praying for you. Do me a favor. Would you please pray for me and my family? We would really, really appreciate that, okay? Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Don't be afraid to use the name Jesus, but just do it in a nice way, okay? God bless you. Talk to you next time.